Chapter 37. The 6 a.m. bell shrieked through Trumbull, through the corridors of the dorms, across the lawns, around the buildings, into the surrounding woods. It lasted for exactly 35 seconds, most inmates could tell you, and by the time it quit, no one was left asleep. It jolted them to life, as if important events were planned that day, and they had to hurry and get ready. But the only pressing matter was breakfast. The bell startled Beach, Spicer, and Yarber, but it didn't wake them. Sleep had been elusive, the reasons obvious. They lived in different dorms, but not surprisingly, they met in line for coffee at 6:10. With their tall cups and without a word, they walked to the basketball court, where they sat on a bench and sipped in the early dawn. They watched the prison grounds. The track was behind them. How many more days would they wear their olive shirts and sit in the Florida heat, getting paid pennies by the hour for doing nothing, just waiting, dreaming, drinking endless cups of coffee? Would it be a month or two? Were they talking days now? The possibilities had robbed them of sleep.
"There are only two possible ways," Beach was saying. He was the federal judge, and they listened carefully, though it was familiar ground. "The first is to go back to the sentencing jurisdiction and file a motion for reduced time. Under very narrow circumstances, the trial judge has the authority to release an inmate. It's rarely done, though."
"Did you ever do it?"
Spicer asked.
"No." "Asshole."
"For what reasons?" Yarber asked. "Only when the prisoner has provided new information about old crimes. If the prisoner provides substantial assistance to the authorities, then he might get a few years off."
"That's not encouraging," Yarber said.
"What's number two?"
Spicer asked.
"We're shipped out to a halfway house, a really nice one where they don't expect us to live by the rules. The Bureau of Prisons has sole authority in placing inmates. If the right pressure is applied by our new friends in Washington, then the Bureau could move us out and basically forget about us."
"Don't you have to live in the halfway house?"
Spicer asked.
"Yes, in most of them, but they're all different. Some are locked down at night with strict rules. Others are very laid back. You can phone in once a day or once a week. It's all up to the Bureau."
"But we'll still be convicted felons,"
Spicer said.
"Doesn't bother me," Yarber said. "I'll never vote again."
"I have an idea," Beach said. "It came to me last night. As part of our negotiations, we make Lake agree to pardon us if he's elected."
"I thought of that, too,"
Spicer said.
"So did I," said Yarber. "But who cares if we have a record? The only thing that matters is that we get out."
"It won't hurt to ask," Beach replied.
They concentrated on their coffee for a few minutes.
"Argro's making me nervous," Finn finally said.
"How's that?"
"Well, he drops in here from nowhere and suddenly becomes our best friend. He does a magic trick with our money, gets it wired to a safer bank. Now he's the point man for Aaron Lake. Keep in mind, somebody out there was reading our mail, and it wasn't Lake."
"He doesn't bother me," Spicer said. "Lake had to find somebody to talk to us. He pulled some strings, did some research, found out that Argro was here, and that he had a brother they could talk to."
"That's awfully convenient, don't you think?"
Beach asked.
"You too, huh?"
"Maybe. Finn's got a point. We know for a fact that somebody else got involved."
"Who?"
"That's the big question," Finn said. "That's why I haven't slept in a week. There's somebody else out there."
"Do we really care?" Spicer asked. "If Lake can get us out of here, fine. If somebody else can get us out of here, what's wrong with that?"
"Don't forget Trevor," Beach said. 2 bullets in the back of the head.
"This place might be safer than we think."
Spicer was not convinced. He finished a drink and said,
"Do you really think that Aaron Lake, the man about to be elected president of the United States, would order a hit on a worthless lawyer like Trevor?"
"No," replied Yarber.
He would not. It's much too risky. And he wouldn't kill us. But the mystery man would. The guy who killed Trevor is the same guy who read our mail.
I'm not convinced.